Good morning. This is Chris Conley, guest hosting today on Feedback. We're kind of tag-teaming, filling in for Seth Mila, who's on vacation. Seth will be back on Monday. Tom King is guest hosted the first 3 days this week. I will be here today and tomorrow. Here's a topic that I'd like to start off with because it's something that involves one of our sister stations here at the Midwest Communications Broadcast Center. And it's a great program. And don't get me wrong, I don't want to say anything disparaging about this program. I'm on board 100%. Our sister station, WIFC, their studios are just down the hallway from where I am now, started last week an anti-bullying campaign. And bullying, I think, is an important issue. I'm glad that we have a chance to kick it around. If you work in a newsroom like I do, there are stories in the news about the tragic consequences of unchecked bullying. Cases where people have taken their own lives because they don't see any way to escape the bullying. And of course, now there's a social media and a technology aspect that bullying can be shared with so many other people that even more people can gang up on you through the social media, through the Facebook and the Twitter and the all of that, that bullying can even be more intense now. So what our sister station is doing, WIFC, has launched an anti-bullying campaign where they're asking kids to take a pledge, where they pledge that they won't bully and that they will stand up and defend the victims of bullying when they see something like that happening. That they'll say, it could be just as simple as, hey, that's not cool, or hey, that's not funny, stop doing that, or telling an adult if they see bullying getting out of hand. So the kids are asked to sign a pledge. And then they get this anti-bullying wristband. It's a blue wristband. And, you know, there's a trend now that wristbands are cool for whatever the cause happens to be. And, I mean, all of this is a great idea. It's an important issue. And I'm glad that our sister station, and in an indirect way, our company, is associated with all that. This is all very good. I will tell you this, though. My family has had an incident of bullying in the last year. And I think as a parent, I've kept this in perspective. In fact, I think I have the right perspective on this, and I'm going to tell the story. And then I have a specific part of the issue that I'd like your feedback on. After all, the show is called Feedback. And first of all, to the little hellion who was bullying my kid, don't worry, I'm not using your name. No, I'm only joking. I mean, because this is an incident that involved second graders. At the time, my youngest son was only in second grade. It's a story from the last school year. And again, I see this for what it's worth, that it's different when it is second graders who sometimes don't mind their manners and sometimes don't make very good decisions and don't know the repercussions of all the things they are. Bullying is different when it involves, say, a high school kid and a grade school kid. And this is a story that involved a grade school kid, but the victim here is my son. So here's what happened. One of his classmates, who kind of had a reputation in the second grade, and so no reputation is permanent in the second grade, but had a reputation of being kind of an out-of-control kid. And on the school bus, on the way home, the kid suddenly yells, "Bus fight! Bus fight!" And then begins swinging his arms wildly, punching and pushing and hitting the kids that are sitting around him. The kid sitting around him happened to be my kid. So my kid got hit in the head by this kid who was wildly flailing his arms around. Again, bus fight. My kid, I mean, you could tell that something happened to him. He got hit in the face, his glasses got knocked off, all of that. And, of course, my son's mother, my ex-wife, you know, immediately were all brought into the loop about this, and she went to the school and complained. And that's fine. That's the right thing to do here. And I will tell you this. This is my observation from all of this. You want to see your school administrators snap to it? You want to see them take action right away? Tell them you've got a bullying case involving your kids. Clearly among school administrators, bullying, and it's just, it's a case of misbehaving on the school bus. I get that. You should see, though, the string of emails and responses, and we're conducting an investigation, and we need to know afterwards if this was handled to your satisfaction. I mean, all we want to happen is for the kid who's misbehaving to be corrected. To say, hey, bus fight and then swinging your arms around randomly hitting people, that's not cool. You can't do that. And as far as we're concerned, that's done. If anything, the school district handled it as much more than that because bullying is such a hot topic issue. So with this as the history of my family from last year, and again, is it a big deal? No, I mean, second graders misbehaving. I talked to my kids and said, hey, at work, WIFC, our sister station, is doing this bullying campaign. You guys should sign the pledge. My older kids, middle school and high school age, say, Dad, I don't want to sign the pledge. I said, well, why not? I mean, you guys don't bully people. No, we don't bully people. You guys are not being bullied by other people. You're not the victims of bullying. No, we're not the victims of bullying. So why don't you want to sign the pledge? My daughter, my oldest daughter is 15 now. She's probably the most sophisticated of my kids. She's older and she's intelligent. Every parent thinks that of their kids. Says that the anti-bullying campaigns have gone too far in the other direction. That there are kids who kind of have poor social skills, who are kind of excluded from the groups of cool kids, who have realized that they can get a response from parents, guidance counselors, school administrators, other teachers, if they cry bullying in situations that really aren't bullying. Like, let's use this as an example. Let's say there's a party. One kid at school is having a birthday party. I'm talking about older kids, middle school or high school. And this kid, say, invites five kids over for a birthday party. And there are other kids. Well, you know, mom and dad said we could invite five kids. A kid that is left out will say, I'm being bullied because I wasn't invited to Mikey's party. Well, that's not bullying. I mean, being excluded may not be nice, but sometimes there are reasons. Mom and dad would only let you have so many kids. Sometimes exclusion is mean and cruel. You invited everyone in the class but didn't invite her. Well, that's not very nice. Does that rise to the level of bullying? There are some situations where so-and-so is looking at me like they're angry. Well, I mean, bullying in my mind is something that happens actively, that it's something that's said, or it's a shoving, or a pushing, or it's an exchange of confrontational words. But my daughter says, no, there are cases. So-and-so is looking at me funny. There have been incidents in my son's middle school where things that happened on the playground during athletic events, like, say, a group of kids that are playing soccer, or something is happening in gym class that suddenly gets classified as bullying when I think that regular adults would hear the story and say, you know, you got hit in the face with a soccer ball because, well, it was kicked towards you. It's not bullying, but that bullying is very quickly becoming a case of kids crying wolf. That bullying is becoming the catch-all for things that don't have outcomes that certain fragile kids don't like. Have we gone too far in the other direction? I would like to take some calls on that. And again, I'm on board with the bullying campaign. Just wondering if we're losing some perspective. 715-845-2155 if you'd like to join the conversation when we come right back after these breaks. I'm Chris Conley, and this is Feedback on AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU. This is WSAU Feedback. I'm Chris Conley, guest hosting today. The topic is bullying, and just like we like to see, we've got a full line of telephone calls, which we'll be getting to. There is a quick follow-up to the story of my son in second grade last year in this bullying incident on the school bus. The very next day after this happened, some days it's mom's turn to pick up the kids at the school bus, and some days it's dad's turn, and the next day happened to be my turn to pick up the twins at the bus stop. So the bus rolls up and it is full of kids at the end of the school day, and my two kids get off the bus and come to me. I could tell who the bully was from the remaining kids on the bus. He was the kid who turned white as a ghost because, oh my God, his dad is there today. I didn't do anything, didn't say anything. I was just there picking up my kids. In fact, it was just a happy accident that it was my turn. But the lesson, of course, is that bullies back down when they think it's a situation where they can't get away with it. When someone stands up, the bully backs down. But my point or my question on all of this is that some are too quick to cry wolf in these situations. And we want to take your calls on it. 715-845-2155. We'll get a few in before the news, and we'll carry this topic over after our 8:30 news update. Hi, caller. You're on WSAU Feedback. Go ahead.
Morning, Chris. I was just wondering, just change the topic a little bit here.
No, I don't want to change topic. Are you on topic or off topic, sir?
I'm off topic, I guess.
No, I'm sorry. We're going to take your call some other time then. Thanks a lot. Let's go back to 715-845-2155. Hi, you're on Feedback. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Good. Glad to hear it. I live down in Wisconsin Rapids. I'm 26 years old. When I went to school, there was bullying. Of course, there was. Now, my biggest question here is, whatever happened to the days of the kid who, in your case, was being bullied, you know, got hit, and maybe it wasn't necessarily a bullying thing, just a kid going a little crazy on a bus.
I think that's what it was, sure.
But whatever happened to the days of a kid actually being able to defend themselves against a bully instead of, you know, taking the abuse, taking whatever, and running to someone, which is the right thing to do. But in an instance like that, you know, at least what I was taught, you get hit back.
Sure. A kid that can stand up for himself is unlikely to be the victim of a bully. That's good. In fact, that's a point that I want to follow up on in the next segment because it's a completely valid point. In fact, I kind of saw that coming, that maybe instead of giving out red anti-bullying bracelets, which is what our sister station's doing, I mean, maybe we should be giving out karate lessons because the bullying kid that goes through that is less likely to have a bullying problem. Hi, caller, you're next on Feedback. Go ahead.
Yeah. To me, this is just liberalism kind of gone way over the top. I mean, bullying is wrong. You know, stand up to a bully, they usually back down. I teach my kids that all the time.
If the point is going to be that sometimes the reaction from the adults is overblown, I agree with that. I saw some of that in the case that I'm telling you about here. Hello.
Hello?
Yep, go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, I know that the announcers on WIFC, they're very liberal in some of their views and stuff, and I understand what they're saying, but I also think that if a kid comes into school wearing a red bracelet, he's going to get teased, or she's going to get teased a little bit.
I'm not sure about that, and I got to tell you, I work with Dave and Stacy and all of the WIFC staff. They're my coworkers, and I don't think I've ever had a political conversation with them. I don't know what their politics are. If you spend time listening to their show, now, look, they do a morning show on a music radio station. Politics is not really a part of what they talk about. Political subjects are not going to come up in their wheelhouse all that often. And honestly, I don't know if they're left or right, and I don't think I really see the bullying issue as left or right, except, like I said, a red flag goes up when I see what I think in some cases is overreaction. 715-845-2155. We'll take more of your calls. 8:30 now, time for the news. Tom King is pinch hitting for me in our upcoming newscast. I'm Chris Conley, and I'm guest hosting today on WSAU Feedback. Welcome back to WSAU Feedback on a Thursday morning. Chris Conley guest hosting for Seth, who's back on Monday. We've been talking about bullying, and we've been taking some phone calls, which seems like a pretty hot topic. Sister station WIFC has an anti-bullying campaign that's going on now. Kids are signing the anti-bullying pledge in time for the new school year. That's a great, great idea. Bullying is a hot topic issue, and like a lot of things, that sometimes it gets carried too far. There are cases of kids crying foul, crying bullying, when the behavior really isn't considered bullying, and there have been cases where school staff have overreacted too. We've got a couple of callers who have waded through the news. Hi, caller, thank you for being patient. You're on WSAU Feedback. Go ahead.
Hi, I was just going to relay an incident that I had recently where the kid bullied my granddaughter, And as she got off the bus, she had been in tears. So what I did was I found out who the bullier was and went to their house and wanted to talk to the parents and straighten it out. And I got no response whatsoever.
See, I would be worried about that, too, that if the parent gets too involved, do you wind up making things worse? Or do you not get the response that you're hoping for? I wonder about that.
Yeah, I did not get the response, and it upset me that parents could act that way.
Sure, because you would hope that the parents would talk to their kid and say, hey, stop being a jerk. And sometimes parents don't do that. Let's take another call, 715-845-2155. And then I want to go back to teach them how to stand up for themselves, because that's a kind of a common and expected response here. And I kind of see that through a different perspective. So we'll get at that after we get another call here. Hi, you're on feedback. Go ahead.
Good morning.
Hi.
Yeah, I used to drive school bus, and I think that even then the schools were a little bit outrageous as far as handling things. I had two boys on my bus in high school. They were fooling around one morning, and one of them elbow got the other one in the eye. And when the kid came in with a big shiner, why, they sit him down right away and wanted to know what was what. They made the other kid, gave the other kid 3 days off.
Oh, wow. You see, that's an example that I think is great for this discussion.
Yeah.
That, to me, doesn't sound like a bullying incident. It's not like one kid is making the other kid's life a living hell after another.
That's right.
This is horseplay. Where somebody accidentally got hit the other way. That's what it sounds like from how you're telling it.
Yeah, sure. Otherwise, if it had been different, well, then I would have written them up, you know, and because we had that capability. But I didn't. I don't think I had much trouble with it during the time that I was on. Usually, just talking to them, you know, if bullying occurred, just talking to him.
Okay, that's great. Thank you for your call. I appreciate you sharing that story from the bus driver's perspective. All right, I want to see this through a gambler's perspective. You say, what's the difference? Just bear with me and we'll get there fast enough. You probably don't know who Stephen Crist is. You have to be someone like me who enjoys going to the horse races. Stephen Crist is a writer. He's a sports writer who writes exclusively about horse racing, but primarily he's a gambler. I mean, he is not involved in the world of horse racing because he's a jockey or an owner or a trainer or a racetrack official. He goes and plays the horses. And one of his jobs, he was the racing correspondent for the New York Times for many years. And then he became the publisher and editor of the Daily Racing Form, which also may not mean anything to you. But if you play the races, the Daily Racing Form is where you get all of the information that lets you play the horses intelligently. It has the past performances, the running line, where you can see how this horse has done in past races. So Stephen Crist has essentially his dream job. He has a job that allows him to gamble on the sport that he loves every day, and he happens to publish what is racing's best-known tip sheet. And he had this to say about problem gambling. Now, I want you to think about problem gambling just for purposes of our discussion as the same as bullying. And his observation was that most problem gamblers, at least that he had run into at the racetrack, happened to be very bad at picking winning horses. He wondered whether or not being a problem gambler was something internal within you, was some kind of character flaw, or was that you weren't very good at the thing that you were trying to do. Now, they've studied this. Problem gambling, at least those who like horse racing, which is the kind of gambling that I prefer. I mean, I'm not a big casino guy. I don't play a lot of poker. But if you tell me that there's a horse race somewhere, I'm there, and I want to figure out who's going to win. His observation was, why don't we take the problem gambling part of the horse racing population, which is about 5%. So if we line up 20 people at the racetrack, 19 of them are just having a good time trying to pick winners, and one of them is betting the rent money. He says, why don't we take the one guy who's a problem gambler and make him better at picking winners? And that's what Steve and Chris did. He offered that as a service. He says, if you believe that you are a problem gambler, that your horse racing gambling is out of control, that you're spending money that you shouldn't spend trying to pick winning horses and you're losing horses, he says, well, I'm someone who's made a living at the track picking winners, and I will teach you to be a better handicapper. I will try and keep you from making the mistakes that you're obviously making over and over again, picking losers in these races, and we'll try to get you to pick more winners, and maybe you wouldn't be a problem gambler if you won more often. You see this when you watch poker on television, where you see some guy, you know, it's like the World Series of poker, and he's trying to get this inside straight, and you say, he's never going to be able to do that. He needs this one card out of the entire deck, and the odds are stacked against him, and he shouldn't go all in there. And the poker commentator, who's an expert, can say right away, he's only got a 4% chance of winning here. He shouldn't be betting $10,000. Because the losing poker player may be a problem gambler, but happens to be a bad player, too. We could save him some of that grief if we taught him how to be better. Could we solve the bullying problem? And again, I like signing the pledge, and I like getting the wristband. Is a part of the solution giving the kids better skills to not be bullied? For instance, I mean, if I ran a martial arts class, or if I ran a boxing program, say at the YMCA, or back when we used to have police athletic leagues like we did in my old neighborhood in Brooklyn, that'd be one of my selling points. Hey, I'm the boxing instructor at the police athletic league. If your kid's being bullied, I'll teach him how to box. And then once the reputation gets out on the school playground that, oh, little Joey over there, he can stand up for himself just fine, little Joey's bullying problem is going to go away. Or if I'm the grandmaster at the martial arts academy, I would want a class just like they have classes for adults that want to learn self-defense. I think it's a fine idea to have a class for, hey, I'm teaching karate, I'm teaching jiu-jitsu to kids that are bullying, to meek-looking kids who might have a hard time on the playground or on the school bus. And we're going to make that problem go away, just like Stephen Crist wants to teach them how to pick more winners. I want to teach them how to be able to stand up to these things. And you know what? History shows, I think just common sense shows, that they will have to use their fists or use their newly trained abilities very infrequently. That it's the ultimate soft power, as we would say in politics, that the soft power is, yeah, I can take care of myself, and lo and behold, I don't have to. Because just as that reputation gets out, a lot of the problems wind up going away. You know what? In the time we have left, I've got another topic that I'd like to dive into. Eric Snowden, traitor or patriot, he's in the news today. I'm going to update that news story. I've got a Rush Limbaugh update. We'll come back after the break. Chris Conley, guest hosting for Seth Mila on Feedback on AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.